Do you ever go through times of spiritual dryness? Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute, because maybe you look at it from a different perspective, or maybe you use some other terminology. But it seems like everybody that I know, if you follow the Lord for any amount of time whatsoever, there are times that that essentially you go through the dryness. It's like you just don't seem to hear from the Lord. Things just seem like they used to be better, and you wonder, what is going on. So if you've ever been to that point of spiritual dryness, let me ask you this question. Why do you think things like this happen? What do you think brings that about, or what do you think creates that? Well, in just a moment, we're going to look at the Valley of the Dry Bones out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. So if you don't have your Bible with you, go grab that real quick, and we'll catch you here in just a few minutes. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I hope and trust and pray that new year this month is off and going, as we're about to put, getting close to putting the first month of 2023 behind us. I hope you have your Bible and you can turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. As we begin our Bible study this evening, I ask you if you ever went through those times of spiritual dryness. In other words, it's just like, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I don't seem to be hearing the Lord like I have in the past, or it just doesn't seem like things are right or like they should be. And then I ask you the other question, why do you think things like this happen? Well, we're going to look at the passage of Ezekiel chapter 37 that's often been referred to as the Valley of the Dry Bones. So would you read with me Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around and beyond. There were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Verse 3, and he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again, he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we again ask that you would clear our hearts and minds of anything, Father, that would hinder us from being able to hear you today. Lord, there may be some of us that are going through that dry time, that spiritual dry time in our lives. And Father, we just don't know. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. But Lord, we're thanking the fact that you are here. This is not something that has taken you by surprise. And Lord, you give us a great example in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. May we truly hear from you today. And Lord, may we be reinvigorated. May our ember of hope be fanned into a flame, Lord, that is unquenchable as we follow you. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your speaker for these moments, that you would truly be high and lifted up, that you might draw all men unto you. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, today in our story, Ezekiel the prophet was led by the Spirit to a certain valley. And then when he got into the middle of this valley, there is something that he sees. And we see that in verses 1 and 2 of our text. And notice what it says that he said. It said, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." That's what he saw. In the midst of the valley, you can just imagine what that scene must have been like. Just bones laying around all over the place. And then it says in verse 2 that he caused me to pass by them all around and beyond. And it says there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. In other words, this is not just a few bones here and a few bones over there. I mean, the way this is discussing it, this valley was full of bones. It almost seemed like it was some sort of a graveyard from the past, where they just took bodies and threw them in there, and destruction type or whatever you might think of as far as decomposition. Well, all of a sudden, here are all these bones just down there laying in a valley, and then God in verse 3 asked a question to the prophet about these particular bones. Very, very interesting. Look at me, verse 3. It says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" Now, to me, that's a pretty good answer. It's kind of interesting when you look at the question. Think about that for a minute. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" You know, often when we get into a point of spiritual dryness, I believe that what happens and what takes place in each and every one of our lives, we ask ourselves, is there hope for me to be revitalized, to be rejuvenated again? Is there hope that I can be close to the Lord like I once was in the past? And I like to pose that question to you today as somebody who is living, breathing, somebody who is a child of the King, somebody who may be going through that time of spiritual dryness. And on behalf of the Father, I ask you, can these bones live? Now, I like how the answer was given back. It says the prophet answered, O Lord God, you know. That's a good answer. Well, you know, maybe, I don't know, but maybe you do. I'm sure you do, but I'm not real sure exactly where you're going with this, because based on the way we look at things, that would almost be earthly impossible. You know, you got a bunch of bones around there. How can they live again? So God asked the question to him, can these bones live again? What you're looking at, you see a bunch of old, dead, dry bones, but what do you think of them? Do you think that they can live? And Ezekiel responded by simply saying, "Well, Lord, you know, I may not know, but you do." But then in verse 4, God tells Ezekiel to say something to these bones. In other words, he tells him to prophesy to them. Now, you and I might look at that and say, "Well, what is going on here? That just seems like it's a little bit weird. You know, why would anybody want to be talking to a bunch of bones that they found laying in the valley?" Now, notice verse 4. It says, "Again, he said to me," and this is what he's saying to the prophet. He's saying, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Now, I've talked with preachers in my lifetime. They're my colleagues. We see each other at different conferences and in so many places. And how many times do we hear preachers say, well, I'll tell you one thing, looking out over the congregation is like looking out over the dead. And I always like what there's always at least one sharp guy in there that says, what reminds me of the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones out of Ezekiel chapter 37. You just keep on preaching the gospel. The gospel doesn't need help. The Word of God does not need the help of Roy Carter or anybody else for the Holy Spirit to use it to bring to life inside of each and every person who hears it what God wants them to know and what God wants them to hear. Now look again. He's in this valley. All he sees is bones. There's nobody else. And he is told to do something in verse 4. He is told to prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, if you were looking out over an old dead church, that might be what you need to say to them. O dry bones. You might get in trouble for it, but O dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, to hear the word of the Lord means that the word of the Lord has to be preached. That is critical. The Word of God has to be preached. It's not about telling stories. It's not about all these other things that churches seem to want to do today. The Word of God stands on its own. It even says in and of itself that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God doesn't need my help or anybody else's. The Holy Spirit will take the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is what will bring it to life in the heart of the old dry bones or the old dry listener, as it were, as we go forward. So the prophet is told to do something. He is saying, listen to the word of God. Hear what the word of God says. Now, when these dry bones hear the word of the Lord, God says that he's going to do something for them. Now, that's in our text, verses 5 and 6. It says this. It says, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Man, that is a big promise. When you're thinking about a whole valley full of dry bones that are here and there and everywhere else, and there's a bunch of them, the Lord says, if you will listen, if you will hear, he says, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and I shall cause you to live. I will put sinews and bring flesh upon you and cover your skin and put breath inside you, and you shall live. Man, what a great, great encouragement. What you and I can grab out of this today is that even when we're going through those spiritually dry times in our lives, God says this. He says, I can cause breath to come in you. I can cause the skin to come upon your flesh. I can put breath and I can put life back into you. Man, that should be encouraging to each and every one of us today that find ourselves in the valley of the dry bones, that find ourselves in that spiritually barren condition or that spiritually almost dead condition. The Lord says, I can bring life back into you. What can do that? Not your preacher, not somebody else, only the Word of God, only the Holy Spirit can do that. And God makes this promise to them in verse 5 and 6 that that's what He'll do. You know, when you think about it, and somebody's asked me this question before, and I said, I can really understand that, but if I were to pose this to you, I would ask you the question, how is it possible for someone to listen to the Word of God but not really hear the Word of God? Now, that is not a complicated question, because there are so many times I've asked that question before, and people say, well, I'll tell you one thing, if you've ever had kids, you know exactly how that goes. They might listen to what it is that you're saying, but they're not really hearing it because it's not sinking in. And I think that's true of God's people today, not only in America, but all across the world. You know, we're here, we're sitting through sermon after sermon sermon. We're sitting through Bible study after Bible study and small group after small group, but we're not allowing the Word of God to penetrate our hearts. We're not allowing the dead, dry bones to have skin put back upon them, to have flesh and life breathed back in to each and every one. Listen, today my challenge is this. Are you spiritually dead? Are you just going through the motions? Well, if you are and you want to be delivered from that, God has given us a great promise in Ezekiel chapter 37 by telling it. He said, I will breathe life back into you. He says, I will put that back into you. You know, it is very possible for somebody to listen to the Word of God, but not really hear it. See, it's not just about listening. You have to apply it. It has to go into your ears and into your head and sink down into your heart. And that's when it begins to change you. That's when the Word begins to make sense to you, and when the Holy Spirit can really do something with it, when it trickles down from your head to your heart. So the question is today, are you listening to the Word of God but not really hearing it? You know, and in what ways would this contribute to spiritual dryness? Well, there's a huge way. If you're not letting it trickle down to your heart and you're not applying it to your life, man, that's the beginning of the spiritual dryness that is coming about. People come to me all the time and they'll say to me, they're like, Pastor Roy, I just don't know what's going on. You know, my life's not what it used to be. It's in shambles. And you've heard me say this, whether you've been around our church or whether you've been around these broadcasts. The first question that I always ask is, well, how's your Bible study? How's your Bible time with God? How's your quiet time with Him? How's your prayer life? And 100% of the time, people go, if they're honest, they go, well, yeah, it's not really that good. Well, you know, you have gone away from what it is that brings you the life, what it is that brings the nourishment to your soul. And folks, you can't do that. You can't live on that island unto yourself. You have got to do what is necessary to bring about spiritual health in your life. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to get into that time of prayer with the Father. You've got to share with Him, and it's not something you do, it's something you become. You know, I'm not doing a child of God. What I am is I am being a child of God. You know, I want to be pleasing to the Father. Now, when you look at that, to walk away from Him and to just go through the motions is a huge factor that is contributing to spiritual dryness in the hearts of everybody who is not keeping up steady with your Bible study and not keeping up steady with your prayer time and not taking the time to take advantage of things like small discipleship groups, Sunday school classes, and Bible studies. Man, that's where you learn. That's where the really good stuff happens. Okay, so then as we go back and we consider these dry bones again, what happened to the dry bones after Ezekiel was obedient and prophesied to them? Okay, verses 7 and 8 tell us that. So you've got Ezekiel down there. You know, the Lord tells him, I want you to prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel does it. So then here's what happens. Verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Now, I want to pause right there for just a second, because I want you to put yourself into Ezekiel's position, and I want you to imagine what must have been going through his mind or what would be going through your mind if that happened. Ezekiel was obedient. He prophesied, and then it says he hears this noise, and then all of a sudden this rattling, and all these bones are just jumping back together. So now all of a sudden, instead of a femur here and a tibia over there, all these bones come back into a skeleton all together. I mean, I probably would be going, I'd be giving you a look that you've never seen before. But that's what it says. It says they came together bone to bone. Verse 8 says, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So now it goes a step further. Now they're not just skeletons. Now the skin and the tendons and everything else is back on them. But yet it says, he says in this passage, yet there was no breath in them. They weren't breathing. So now what you've got is you have these things that used to be corpse, bones that were scattered everywhere, back together, skins back on them. Now they look like the human being they were before they died, only they're not breathing. There's no breath in them. Okay. Then verse 9 says this. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So he's once again, he separated that out. You know, there was something that was lacking when all the bones came back together and the skin was there. They did not have the story. Now think about this for just a moment. In this story, what does breath symbolize in this particular story? You know, it says it had everything else. It had the bones were back together, the tendons and ligaments and muscles and the skin and everything were there, but there was still something missing. It says the breath was missing. So what does that symbolize in this particular story? It actually symbolizes life, because without any breath, there is no life. You still have a corpse, except this time, instead of being sprinkled all through a field, it's been put back together, but it is still a standing up, walking. I don't know if it was talking or not, but one thing I know it wasn't doing, it wasn't breathing. So therefore, you and I would look at these corpses and say, there's still no life in them. They are still dead. Now, God tells Ezekiel about what these dry bones actually represent in verses 11 through 14. Let's go over there for a minute. Verses 11 through 14, he says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So you see what's going on. Yeah, he's sitting there saying, you represent Israel. Yeah, how dead you were. Now think about this. Yeah, there are ways that this has been fulfilled in regard to the nation of Israel. Now that's another message for another day. I won't necessarily get into those prophecies, but all the way from the time back in the 40s when Israel was again reconstituted as a nation, we have seen even in our day and age the prophecies that the Lord said would happen being fulfilled in regard to Israel. And just as the house of Israel was spiritually dead and needed a new life, there are ways that is true of our nation and our people today. Man, I'll tell you one thing. There is no way that the Lord can be happy with the way that our country is going. He can't be happy with the way that his people are going when things that are called sin in the Word of God are just blatantly and outrightly gone against in society today. Listen, our country needs the Lord worse than ever. We need to turn back to him. Israel was the same way. Israel would get goofy. They would have to be punished by God. And then there was the time of that punishment, and then they would essentially be brought back again. They would be renewed, or they would be brought back together, and then they would get goofy again and go sinning again. This has just been a history of Israel. And that history is not a whole lot different between Israel and you and I today. Don't we do the same thing? Because remember, there were times when you can remember when you weren't spiritually dry. Yeah, there are times when things were good. You were at the oasis of spirituality in your lifetime. But now you're looking around and you don't want to admit it. You don't want to tell anybody that. You don't want people to know that. So you keep going through the motions. You keep maybe attending church. You keep maybe attending Sunday school or that Bible study. And some of you just quit completely. You just sit down and you're like, I'm not worried about it. Okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be. That's not what God wants. He's calling you back to him. He wants to put that light back. He wants to energize you once again in the same way that he was doing Israel in the passages that you and I are looking at today. My question for you today is, are you spiritually dead? Yeah, if you are, you might be looking around and saying, yeah, my old dry bones are laying throughout this valley. Well, God says there's good news for you. He says, I can still bring the skin and the tendons and the ligaments back to you. I can still fill you with the Spirit, and I will do that. And I will put life and breath in you so that your life will be changed as you go forward. The question is that what you really desire? God wants to do that if you desire it. Now, we throw this word around in church life all the time called revival. And I want you to think about what revival really means. You know, when you ask people, most of the time what they do is they don't give you a definition of revival. They give you a description of revival. Well, that's when we're down at the church. We have a week-long meeting, and we bring a guest evangelist in from out of town, or we bring somebody else in. We have church every night. You know, that's what people will tell you. If they even tell you that in 2023, because a lot of churches don't even have them anymore. You don't have revival. So, but let's think about it. What is the definition of revival? If you were to sit back and say, I have revived something, you know, a lot of folks that may be viewing this may be trained in cardiopulmonary resuscitation or CPR. And then what happens is when somebody's had a heart attack or something, you'll start CPR. You'll do the chest compressions and breaths. In the old days, it was breaths. I don't think you do those anymore, but they'll be doing the chest compressions. You're trying to revive somebody, meaning you're trying to bring life back to them. Revival means there had to be something there to start with. You can't revive something that never had life. So when we talk about revival, revival really is for children of the King, spiritual people, that we may rekindle the flame that has burned down, that little ember might be heaped up with God's grace, that He fans it into a fire that brings us on fire once again for Him. So folks, do you need revival in your own life? Well, revival starts with you personally, one-on-one. Revival will never happen in a church unless it happens in you individually to start with. Do you really want revival? Do you want that in your life? Yeah, if you want that in your life, then it can happen within your church. The question is, do you desire it enough? You know, according to our story, there's something that is needed for God's people to experience true revival. And you know, what is that? You need to return to Him. You know, what great things happen when revival occurs? See, when revival occurs, people will come to know the Lord. See, a lot of times we equate revival with people coming to know the Lord. Well, if people never knew the Lord, then that spirit can't be revived in them again. Revival is for the Christian person. But when God's people get their heart right with Him, then incredible things happen. Yeah, but it starts with you, one-on-one, individually. Yeah, revival is a phenomenal thing when you get to experience it in the way that God intended for you to experience. See, when you go through times of personal dryness, what lessons can you learn from this story today? Now, I hope that one of the first and biggest lessons that you learn is that when you actually admit that you were there in that spiritual dryness, I hope you learn that it's not too late. Yeah, regardless of how far gone you may think you are, look at these bones. These bones weren't even in the same spot. That rattling of those bones was them all coming back together once again. And God knows where each and every one of them were so that He could bring them back together. And He knows where each and every one of you are. So when you go through times of that personal spiritual dryness, you can learn a lesson from this story. And one of the lessons is that it's not too late for you when you give it to God. You know, in what ways does Ezekiel provide for us an example to follow in times of dryness? Well, for me, one of the big things is that he was obedient to the Lord. You know, when the Lord told him to prophesy to the bones, Ezekiel didn't go, man, these are bones. What are you talking about? I ain't going to do that. I'm just going to walk on out through here. No, that's not what he did. He was obedient to do what it was that God asked him to do and what it was that God called him to do. So that's going to begin for you and I today as an example to follow. Will we follow Ezekiel's example and do exactly what the Lord tells us to do? When He commands us to do something, are we going to do it? Maybe He's going to command you to have that daily Bible time with Him where you get into God's Word. Maybe He's going to tell you, I want you to spend some time in prayer with me, and here's how I want you to do it. Maybe He's going to get you involved in a small group. Maybe it's just actually opening your ears and paying attention when you show up in the house of the Lord in church. Maybe it's being a part of or participating in your Sunday schools and your Bible studies and those sort of things, and not just being there present in body, but being there present in spirit as well. You know, what is it that God is calling you to do? This is a new year. People start off and they make these New Year's resolutions all the time. And I've always said I'm not much on New Year's resolutions because they usually get broken in the first, you know, sometimes a few days, sometimes the first few hours of a new year. But the thing about it is, could that be a good New Year's resolution for you to get close to the Lord? You know, when you go through those times of personal spiritual dryness, learn lessons from Ezekiel today. Learn and remember that those bones can come back together and the Lord can breathe life back into them. And maybe today we can follow that example. What we need to do today is we need to pray for spiritual revival in our land. And it starts with you and me individually. So we need to pray for that today. And we also need to pray that revival will begin in the heart of each and every one of us, that it might spread like wildfire to our churches, to our communities, and then across the world. And that's exactly what we're going to pray for here in just a moment. But let me go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. They're not consecutive, once again. So if you got something you might want to write on, you might want to write this down. Or if you're watching this on the replay, you can go back and play it again. But the Bible readings for this week will be Daniel chapter 1, 3, 5, 6, and 9. Now, once again, that is Daniel chapters 1, 3, 5, 6, and 9. And next week, we will look at Daniel in the lion's den out of the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 28. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, we do so thanking you and praising you for the fact that, Lord, you never give up on us. And Lord, even when we go through those times of spiritual dryness, we're grateful to you that you don't just write us off, that you want to bring those old dry bones back together again. Lord, you want to breathe life back into us. And Lord, help us to never feel that we're too far gone, but may we repent, may we return to you individually. Lord, may we repent and return to you as a church. Lord, may we repent and return to you as a nation, because Lord, only you know what you can do with your people when they're completely sold out for you. So Father, for those that feel like they're in the dry valley of the dry bones right now, I pray that you will provide for them hope. Lord, that you will breathe that life back into them, and that, Father, you would just begin to do something incredible in their life, that revival might begin with them individually and then begin to spread into each and every person that is a part of their sphere of influence. Lord, watch over us as we go away from this Bible study. Keep us safe. Bring us together to worship, Lord, at the appointed time. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, folks, thank you again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, if you don't have a church and you're located in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you visit with us. Our services are 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. We would look forward to seeing you and trust and pray that God's going to do some incredible things for you in this new year. We can't wait to see that and to be a part of that. I know that's what we're praying for each and every one of us. God bless you. Have a great week.